Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, I like this song a lot. What I don't like is how the Phils played last night, how they've played for the last week, and what was just featured there in that update. With what Rob Thompson said.
I didn't like it either.
He has a really, really annoying tendency to give too much praise to players who don't deserve it after bad performances. There's a way to thread the needle of not blasting a player publicly, but not overpraising a player publicly. And he doesn't seem...
He was really good outside of that one inning.
Like, Taiwan stunk. Gave up a lot of runs. He stunk. Now, it's not the end of the world. It's the first in three games that he's pitched that he stunk.
So he's, also, got a he's 2.3 not good. ERA
he's year. Also not good.
He's not good. And the low ERA is not is what's the word I'm looking for?
It does not representative.
Does not represent because his throwing error got him off the hook of all these 100%. Runs last night being earned. Mm-hmm. So like. I don't shovel me the Taiwan thing. I'm talking not to you, John. I'm saying to Rob Thompson. Come on, man. I mean, come on. Enough. All right. Let's get to something else Rob Thompson said, because he talked after the game last night, he talked about the Phillies, who lately obviously have been struggling quite a bit. Here's Topper.
Haven't played our best baseball, that's for sure. And we need to get better, and we will. I mean, we've got a good club. So, I'm not sure exactly why, but we haven't hit as much as we normally do, but that will change. Just got to keep moving forward.
Look, they will hit more and they will play better, but they got to play a lot better. This has been a lousy, lousy brand of baseball for a week. It really has. It's disappointing to see, and every team's going to have their spots, but it's just so emblematic of when they struggle, this is how they struggle.
Did you think
these are the whys of why they struggle?
I thought about, and this is in a weaker moment, I think, did this team this season want to not do things the way last year went so much that the start of the season has been sort of short-circuited? Stay with me here. Last year, we started so strong. Yeah. We came out the gates flying, and the rest of the nation, they're looking at the Phillies like, holy cow, man, mm-hmm. This is the team to contend with. Yep. And then it all fizzled when it mattered most, and that's what we talked about. Okay, we have to figure out a way for this team to hit when it matters, this team to hit in the playoffs. They hit in the regular season, mostly the beginning of the regular season, because then after the All-Star break, it was kind of uneventful and not really that special. You know, you front-loaded last season.
Yeah.
Did you guys focus so heavily on not front-loading this season that here we sit in sort of limbo land where it's not good enough because it's not intense enough because we're looking toward peaking at a time that's October.
Look, I talked in February and March about that possibility. But I don't think that's what we've got here. I don't. I think we have flawed players here. I mean, first off, Rojas is the classic. I mean, the two most important guys last night are the most classic example of flawed players. The two guys that hurt the Phillies the most last night were Rojas and Taiwan. Now, Taiwan had given him two good performances before. I'm not going to come down on him, you know, on his head today. But, I mean, let's be real. He's not good enough. And Rojas flat out stinks. The rest of them, John, I think this is what they are. I think they are a bunch of inconsistent players. I'm not talking about Bryce as much. I'm talking about Trey Castellanos, who right now is playing great. But we know he's going to have his moments where he doesn't. I mean, Stott and Bohm. I mean, Stott almost hits a homer last night. Bohm almost gets the homer, gets the double. That's good. But, I mean, he's still, you know, what was it, 1-for-4 last night. It was a frustrating game. And then when you add on the umpire thing, it's just you wake up in a bad mood. You do. Now, you can wake up and watch our show. Our show's on YouTube. You're listening to us right now, probably on the radio.
Might put you in a worse mood. No.
Yeah. Radio or app, probably, in all likelihood. But you can also listen or watch on YouTube. Our show's on YouTube. So check that out when you get a chance. By the way, Brandon Graham today at 9 o'clock. We look forward to having him on. Let me also get to the Sixers thing, John, because I just want to lay this out just so everyone is aligned for the 76ers' chances of getting, you know, the number one pick in the draft. Because we know the Sixers have, you know, had the fifth worst record this year in basketball. So what does that mean from a probability standpoint for the picks in the draft? I'm going to get to that in a moment because, you know, it's good for people to know, and I'm gonna hit that in a sec. All right, let's go to the phones. Juan in Honeybrook. Juan, good morning.
Hello.
What's going What's up, on, Juan?
How you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
I'll tell you what, the Phillies are straight bums. I can't believe how
here
they
we
play.
Go. Here we go. Straight bums.
I can't believe this. You know, like Rojas is not the only one that sucks right now. Everybody does. I think they should send the AAA team up to the majors and send the major league team down to the
just
AAA.
Punish them all.
Yeah, I mean,
punish
what the hell?
Punitive baseball.
You sure you're not overreacting a tad bit there, Juan?
No, man. I mean, listen. My quote. I'm gonna give you my quote now, and then I'm gonna keep on rambling until you cut me off.
Okay.
If nothing changes, nothing changes. Ain't nothing changes. We went to the World Series, down to the NL Championship. We ain't going nowhere this year playing like the way we play. We are going nowhere. Now, this is the flip side of it. The flip side of it is, my dad's always told me, he says, the teams that come roaring out in the beginning fizzle out at the end. The teams that are coming in hot at the end are the ones that you got to be scared of.
Well, that's what John was talking about 5 minutes ago. I mean, there is truth to that at times. Not always, but at times.
Not
always,
yeah. The St. Louis Cardinals beat them in 2011.
Sure.
So, I mean, and like I'm saying, the flip side of it is, okay, we're down now. Now, if we pick it up, let's say in the next couple weeks and go on a run.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Here's my problem with your presentation and these 2 points. They're totally divergent today. Your first point was they're not good enough. Like, they can't be good enough. Your second point is they might be playing possum to become exceptional at the end of the year. Which is it?
He doesn't know.
Mm. Okay. All right, Juan. All right, buddy.
Hey.
I wasn't trying to twist them up. I thought it was a reasonable question. Because you had two totally different points. Go ahead, John. Juan, appreciate the call.
The Dolphins and Jalen Ramsey mutually set to explore trade options.
Now, you didn't listen to Ray's update, did you?
Clearly
she said it. She said it about 6 minutes ago.
Well, that's a big deal.
I don't think the Eagles
not
are going
to. Not for the Eagles, though. We're not trading for him.
Yeah. No, but someone's going to get a really good cornerback.
Well, he's pretty old
although
at this point.
Although he is getting
30.
Up there.
Oh,
how old are 30 years old.
Yeah.
Three teams.
It's hard to know how good he is now because of the way that they were so disconcerted with everything down there.
But he was
he might
the
have
best
been part of the problem
time.
In terms of the attitude.
Was he there in the Vic Fangio year?
I believe so.
I think he was.
Yeah. I bet you he was a ringleader.
And that's what that's where your mind goes with that, doesn't it?
I mean, he's
the big name guy.
Uh-huh.
He's the diva of the D as a cornerback, so to speak. I don't know. I bet there's a good chance. And I've never heard that. I'm not saying that because I've heard a rumor.
But if a bunch of defenders are complaining, a veteran like him is probably
absolutely
one of them.
He had the power as a veteran to say, hey, guys.
And a future Hall of Famer.
Just buckle down and do what the guy knows what he's talking about. Let's just buckle down. He had the ability to do that, and he didn't.
I agree.
He's owed $25 million, if that helps.
Yeah, he ain't coming here. All right, Sixers. Hopefully the Sixers get the number one pick. So with the fifth best odds to get the number one pick, and obviously a better chance than not to keep their pick, but it's not a sure thing. They got about a two-thirds chance to keep their pick. John, here's the reality for the Duke kid. Because, you know, you got to get to number one and get him.
Yeah.
10.5% chance.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if you consider that good or bad, but that's what
it is. I think it's really good. I'm excited to be over 10%. You know,
I don't know.
This feels doable.
You know what's wild?
It's crazy. If this actually is, it has a chance. We know it's got over a 10% chance to happen. Cooper Flagg is awesome. He is just so complete.
Well, if you know what's really bizarre? Chances to have the fifth overall pick. 2.2. I don't know what to. I mean, I guess
it doesn't make much sense.
They changed the weighted system so much. Teams jump up more now than they used to, and of course
Sixers, they're more likely to jump up to one than they are to stay at five.
Correct.
Is very strange.
Five times greater chance.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I know, because remember, after the Sixers tanked 10 years ago for 4 years, 5 years, whatever it was, they changed the ping pong ball system. So they gave teams 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 a better chance than they used to have. So there's a better probability those teams jump up than they used to, which means there's a chance a team like the Sixers jumps down. By the way, the Sixers also have a better chance to jump up now with the fifth pick, fifth odds than they would have 10 years ago. But, you know, it can cut both ways. 215-592-9494 to get to Andy in Deptford. Andy, good morning.
Morning, team. We live. We hot. What's up, everybody?
I just shake my head, man. I don't know what to do with you. I really don't, but hello.
Yeah,
matter of fact, you know what you warrant, because it so doesn't fit, I'm going to do it.
What's up, Doc?
What's up?
That's my new thing. Yo, anytime you give me that freaking live and hot thing, I'm giving you...
What's up, Doc?
All right, go
ahead.
When
you say it, do you feel kind of foolish now?
Because you know nobody likes it, Andy. I don't mean here. I mean everybody listening. Yeah. Nobody likes it.
Well, Joe, if it's that bad and you don't like it, why do I hear you saying it on the radio when I'm not even calling?
Because they're making fun of you, Andy. Come on, man. You know that. You know that.
Good answer, Jay.
Well, let's get back to sports talk.
All right, okay?
Let's bring it back. As far as what the Phillies go, right, I mean, really long season, but I guess my biggest concern is a team that has World Series aspirations and we got a AAA outfield. I mean, unless we make drastic changes, that ain't going to get it done. And this team has struggled year in and year out hitting with runners in the scoring position. I mean, it's like if it was the Eagles and we couldn't score in the red zone, or the Flyers can't score in the power play, all you guys will be doing on the radio is ripping them in, day out. And you just get such a soft landing with the Phillies, but you ragging on the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. I just don't get it.
Well, I'll say this. The nature of baseball is you do have these stretches. I mean, we do know that, right? I mean, look at the Yankees last year. They made it to the World Series. They had a stretch in, I think, was it James August? I mean, they were a disaster. So, you know, baseball lends itself to this kind of
Phillies
thing.
Phillies fired their manager and went to the World Series the same year.
Right. The Mets last year were completely out of it and then got to, what, a Game 6 or a Game 7 in the NLCS last year, whatever that was. So that's part of why, Andy, I'm really frustrated, but I don't lose my mind the way some people have in the first hour saying the Phillies stink, they have no chance, et cetera, et cetera. Rojas stinks doesn't mean the whole Phillies team stinks.
Yeah, but your outfield is a major part of
the
your
outfield
team.
The outfield stinks.
Outfield
I agree.
Is horrible.
I agree.
What are we going to do with that? All right, let's hit the Sixers quickly, too. I mean,
sure.
I think the Phillies are treading in this area, but they're not there yet. In sports, you have teams that we know are going to be completely irrelevant. It's all across sports. Pirates, Rockies, the A's, the White Sox, and baseball, they're almost always completely irrelevant.
I know.
You got football, the Jets, the Browns, the Giants, the Panthers, usually completely irrelevant. You got basketball. We're in that category. With
right
the Wizards,
now they are. Yep.
Memphis, Jazz, the Nets, the Sixers. They've been in that category. I mean, this team has no hope, no time soon, and it's a shame because, you know, we're a basketball town.
I know.
You know, we got a lot of pride with basketball in our Sixers, but, you know, that team is pretty much, it's like, you know, when you got a bad game in Madden or something for you with Tecmo Bowl, just hit that reset button, man. That team is just a joke. And I'm hoping that the Phillies don't get in that category. They're not there because they got superstars on the roster, but you keep gradually declining in the postseason. You know, fans are going to start checking out. We're in this. We want to be entertained, but we want some hardware.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
What it's all about.
I think that's hardware. Fair. Yep. Andy, give me a big answer. Give me a quote.
Oh man, who don't love? We live. We hot.
Oh no, you didn't.
What's up, Doc?
That's my new rule. He brings that. I'm giving that right back to him. And I know no one likes when I do the Bugs Bunny thing. So I'm.
You're doubling down on no one liking it.
It's tit for tat. Tit for tat.
Great.
I mean, yuck.
You know what?
It really is.
I could give him this.
No.
Give him that.
That's better.
Yeah, I like that better.
I could give him this. Hold on here.
As if.
Nah.
All right, hold on. How about this?
From the city of brotherly love.
Can't beat that one, right?
I mean,
the context doesn't really apply, but yeah, I'm fine hearing that. That's good.
It really doesn't. All right. Speaking of football, because of course that was the Eagles right before. That was Bradley Cooper right before the Birds won the Super Bowl. Trying to win another one. Something Baldy said yesterday on WIP about that quest by trying to add players. We'll get to Baldy, his thoughts on this draft coming up in 1 minute.
Love my dog Chaney. He's funny, always happy to see me, and full of energy. And I have one job with Chaney. It's make sure he's happy and healthy. And the one place I can tell you where you can make sure of that for your pet is at the Dogs and Cats Rule Store. The lead dog, George Perante, he'll tell you not only where to get help for your pets, but all the solutions for your pet's need. And it is at the Dogs and Cats Rule Store. So if your pet maybe has specific dietary restrictions, maybe allergies, that's what my dog has. The staff at Dogs and Cats Rule are the best trained in the business to help you with all of that. Weather's going to warm up this week, so it's time to think about natural flea and tick prevention. With this nicer weather, probably going to be outside with your pets more often. So freshen up your outdoor toys, maybe a new ball launcher, maybe something to tug on. The selection of food at Dogs and Cats.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cats Rule, second to none. Large selection of raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, air-dried, dehydrated, and premium kibble and canned that cannot be beat. Visit Dogs and Cats Rule. They've got 7 convenient neighborhood locations. Princeton and Pennington in New Jersey, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, Bluebell, and New Hope in Pennsylvania. For more information, online at dogsandcatsrule.pet. That's Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie on this Tuesday morning. Reminder, Brandon Graham, 9 o'clock today. Obviously, the Eagles lost an awful lot on the edge. You know, between Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, and Milton Williams, who sometimes would play out there, they lost a lot. Baldy was on yesterday with Spike, Ike, and Jack talking about the Eagles at 32. Heavy focus at one point within that interview on edge. Now, look, possibility of the Eagles making a trade. Watt, Hendrickson from the Bengals, I mean, those are high-end aspirations, probably unlikely to happen, but something to consider because they're great players and the Eagles have Howie and Howie wheels and deals, so you can't take anything off the table. Possible. But the simplest way to do it, obviously, is just to draft a kid and plug and play. Baldy, focusing on the edge, Eagles, first round. Here's what he said yesterday.
Is there a player or two you think
could be sitting there that you think the Eagles would be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, like if Mike Green was somehow available for Marshall, anywhere, like say after 26, because I think the Eagles would go up and get an elite player like that, an elite talent. It's a position of need. They have been weakened, especially with Bryce Huff's like inability to really play within the scheme. So they've got some young guys there, Jalen Hunt and Nolan, but, you know, position of an edge rusher like him or, you know, a local kid, you know, from Boston College, Ezeraki, like Ezeraku, I think he could be, you know, a guy that they would be very, very interested in. You know, James Pierce from Tennessee, who people have some real question marks about with some issues, but the talent at 4'4", 7", and 6'5", 250 pounds, and some good production at Tennessee, like, if he was hanging around there, like, I don't think they'd wait very long to bring his name up there.
Because of what the Eagles lost, and because of the way this draft plays out, I tend to think edge rusher is the most likely first-round selection the Eagles will have. Look, it could be tackle, it could be safety, it could be offensive tackle. I was saying D-tackle earlier. It could be any of these, but I kind of think edge rusher is the most likely. Now, he just named three there. For what it's worth, in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, he's got Mike Green, that was the first player he talked about, going 15. He's got the second player that talked about, the BC kid, going 28, and then James Pierce going 32 to the Eagles. So Baldy's talking about three guys that Mel Kiper all has in the first round. With that said, the first focus of what Baldy said, Mike Green, let's get to something Ray Diddy said to us last week, because he loves this guy.
I'm thinking defensive line. I'm thinking edge rusher specifically, and there are some really, really good ones. I mean, I am head over heels in love with Mike Green. Look, he's not going to fall to you at 32. I mean, there's no way. The Eagles got real lucky last year because Quinion Mitchell, who never should have gotten to 22, did. But I don't think you're going to get that lucky that Mike Green is going to fall to you at 32. If you ask me who's my number one guy, last year, if you remember, we had this conversation before the draft, and I said Quinion Mitchell was my number one guy. Well, this year my number one guy is Mike Green. And if you're as high on him as I am, you're going to have to move up from 32 to go get him, probably somewhere in the teens. But the fact is, with all the draft picks you have both this year and next year, that's doable.
All right, so there's baggage with this guy. You got to know that. There's baggage, and there's a lot of people that think the Eagles might not even select him because of that, even if he was available when they pick.
It's two sexual assault allegations. He faced two sexual assault allegations.
No convictions, but allegations.
Neither resulted in charges.
Right. No charges.
And he denied doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
But Howie has said previously, if there are red flags, character issues.
Of that nature.
Specifically of that nature.
Applying to women, the way that a player deals with women.
Right.
Then they're off our list. And I don't know. I don't know how they view that.
I don't
either. Sounds to me. Now, oh my gosh, as a player, he's Marshall.
How good is he, John?
Well, he's Marshall, so it is a different level of competition in some cases. But this is a guy who's, I think he's 6'3", about 250. So smaller, like the 3-4 type edge guy. But, man, you want to talk about explosiveness. And not just as a guy who can have that first step to beat an offensive tackle. Explosiveness, setting the edge, and shocking people. Shocking guards who are trying to pull and kick him out. This guy is an angry football player, which is so awesome to watch. You don't always get that anymore. This guy plays the way you're supposed to. I just, you know, there are some indications that has bled outside the playing field.
Yeah, it's impossible for us to know what he's thinking. I mean,
sure.
I tend to think he...
But again, he denies wrongdoing, and there were no charges, just allegations.
Howie just put out there we're not even going to look at guys like that. Like, I think there's a 0% chance they draft this guy. I mean, imagine right after I make that statement, they take someone who, they just won't. Yeah. Like, they won't do it. I think he's off their board.
I tend to think you're right, but I'm not sure. But it's notable, both Ray and Baldy, you know, talking about him as a player, as someone that they would... love to see the Eagles get as a
player.
And
a player that
but, you know,
you're likely going to have to trade up into the first
round
to get.
That's right.
It's possible that people are looking at Mike Green saying, hey, maybe he falls because of the character things. If the Eagles did their due diligence and feel good about, you know, the character issues, then maybe they'll go there. But it sounds like there's just such a it's a non-starter.
Probably. All right, so let's go back to the phones. We'll talk more about the draft with Elliot Shore Parks coming up in about 5 minutes. Back to the phones. Obviously, a terrible game by the Phillies last night. Rojas, horrendous. Taiwan, horrendous. Rob Thompson didn't come out to argue with the umpire, which was bad. The umpire was horrendous. All of which, by the way, is part of why we have a Twitter poll question of the day about last night. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer. Starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who frustrated you the most last night? Was it Rojas, Taiwan Walker, or the home plate umpire? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also, because of that ump's horrendous series of calls, but the one in particular that ended JT's at bat, we ask you, should MLB have robot umps for balls and strikes, yes or no? Third poll question, which is more important for the Eagles with the first-round pick in the draft? Is it best player available or a player at a position of need? I'll tell you this, guys. It's rarely best player available. I don't care what anyone says. If the best player available is
quarterback,
they're not taking him. Obviously, choice C would be the ultimate answer.
I think quarterback's the extenuating
circumstance. Best player available at a position of need.
Yeah, they're not taking a center. Like, there are positions we know that they're not going to take at 32. Like, they're just not.
They're not taking a center. They're not. And there's not many. Probably running back. Probably
running back. Probably. If he's got positional versatility. But a center who can play guard, who can play
sure,
tackle,
if they're taking him to be a guard, guys. That's fine.
Yeah,
but
to be guard, that's different. To be center guy, that's, you know. All right, let's go to the phone.
See, well, we doubled up and drafted centers. Landon Dickerson was a center. Cam Jurgens was a center. I know. We doubled up on center
before, Landon Dickerson
before,
was
guys.
A guard by the time they drafted Jurgens. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But Jurgens wasn't, I think. Didn't they develop into a guard?
He had never played guard before.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So they might draft a center and change it. Guys, of these trips, the 30 trip things that the Eagles, we know that they really like bringing the guys in who they eventually draft.
Of course.
The list that I saw, there were 10 names. Five of the names, half, were offensive linemen.
Listen, that was
Ruben's offensive line.
And that was Ruben's theory. Ruben thinks the most likely spot they draft is offensive line for a tackle of the future who can play guard in year one as a starter instead of going with Steen. I mean, it's possible. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning. Yo, Paul. All right, no, Paul. Let's get to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning. Eddie Munster.
Good morning, team.
Wow. Responded to Eddie Munster.
Wish I could say the same. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Hi, that Ed. Was. You don't know what just happened, but go ahead.
I thought you was like you had one drop.
Go ahead, Ed. Go ahead, pal.
It's better than Mr. Ed. I had to grow up with that.
Oh, I could have gone there.
My whole life, so.
Yeah, I'm sure that gets old.
So.
All right, we're going to put Ed back on hold. Something ain't going right there. 215-592-9494. Because obviously that's your
delay.
I don't know. It's the kind of thing, if someone's watching on YouTube, they might be interested in how we react to a moment like that. You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm watching on YouTube, I want to see, do the guys get flustered? Do they handle it like pros?
How do you think you handled it, Joe?
I broke my glasses. my glasses are in half, but I still put them on my face because they sort of fit over my nose and blah, 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 blah. All right, Elliot Shore Parks. He joins us every single Tuesday. Obviously, we really are getting close to the draft. Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Super. Not great, because the Phillies freaking stunk last night.
Well,
they lose
Phillies aren't super.
A lot right now. And Rojas absolutely, positively should not be on the team, because he should not be a Major League Baseball player unless your goal was like the White Sox last year to win 50 games instead of 40 games. I mean, this guy just can't play. So that's how I'm doing, Elliot. But
all right. Well, sounds like you're doing okay then, I guess.
but that aside, I'm looking forward to the draft. So, all right, let's go through some players here, man. Baldy and Ray, we got audio of both of them talking recently about Mike Green. Obviously, there are off-field issues.
Part one, can you please detail what you know about what happened? Just to give context to that. Part two, do you think he's on Howie's draft board, or do you think he's removed him from the draft board?
You know, it's a great question. Howie talks later today at 1:30. I don't know if he'd be willing to share that information, but I do think it is worth asking him about what he said on the Tom McShay pod about a month ago. I don't know if you guys have discussed that, but you know, essentially saying a player with a history of violence against women is not somebody they will draft. Now, that is not, you know, in some ways the Mike Green situation. I don't want to get into like defining what happened, but he had two incidents where he was accused of sexual assault, one in high school, one in college. He was not charged or I think even questioned either time, but he did leave Virginia because of that, and that's how he ended up at Marshall. So there are those off the field concerns, or at least questions that teams will have to look into with him. He did speak about it at the NFL Combine for about 25 minutes, so he has been open and talking about it and answered questions about it. But you're right, it is something the Eagles will have to decide. Now, as a player, he certainly had a great final year. I think he led the nation in sacks with 17.5. I view him as a little bit of like a low ceiling, high floor player. He's not really that special athlete, in my opinion, that normally you want to see from an edge rusher early on in the draft. So I don't know if he's an Eagles type of player either way, but I mean, no question, like he had a productive final last year, and that's something the Eagles will have to decide in terms of off the field.
Elliot, so many names we've talked about over the last 2 weeks or so, maybe 10 or 15 have come up. I'm curious who you think is just, if you had to just take a stab at it, the most likely player for the Eagles to select at 32.
Yeah, so this isn't maybe the most exciting answer because he is the name that comes up the most, but I really think it's Walter Nolan for a couple reasons. One, I think he is, of the guys we talked about, one of the more likely guys to be there. I think James Pierce could be there. I don't think Malachi Starks could be there, although he could be in the late 20s, so maybe he's a trade-up option. I know they have a ton of interest in him, but Walter Nolan just A, could be there, and B, he's such an Eagle. Like, it's a position of need. He's a former high recruit that probably didn't live up to his potential as a player. He's a great athlete. He's a pass rushing defensive tackle. I think after the Jordan Davis pick, you'll probably see them lean more towards guys that come into the league as more of a pass rushing defensive tackle as opposed to a run stopper that hopes to and then they hope he can develop into that. So if I had to put, you know, all my money on a player right now, most likely to be an Eagle, it would be Walter Nolan.
Yeah, I really like that. D-tackle, we certainly, it applies. We go there often in that first round. How about the list that I saw for the 30 visits, Elliot? It just had 10 players on it. Is there a more current list than the one that I saw? I found it interesting that half of the 10 players that I saw were offensive linemen. I didn't know if you thought that was a trend or something that you had seen in the past that just stays consistent.
Yes, I'll have to send you the updated list because there's 23 names out there now that are known in terms of top 30 visits. So, you know, hopefully by this time next week, we'll know all 30. And it's a really important list because the Eagles draft guys who come to Philadelphia. Like, it's kind of that simple. Not only do they draft those guys, they end up signing them as well as free agents. So if the Eagles bring you into Philadelphia, there is a ton of interest there in terms of potentially making you a member of the team. So, you know, if you look at some of the guys they brought in, they had Malachi Starks in, someone we just talked about. You know, there's definitely, I think, more of a lean towards linemen, both offensive and defensive linemen, but they also had linebacker Kobe King in from Penn State. Yeah, ultra athletic, really good run stopper. You know, I know you guys specifically have talked about the loss of Oren Burks quite a bit. He is an Oren Burks type of player. He can be a special team demon, ultra athletic, needs to work on pass protection, but as just a physical athlete, he's one of the best linebackers in the draft. So yeah, you can just tell from the guys they're bringing in, they're ultra athletic and they're mostly linemen.
Needs to work on, like, blitzing?
So, you know, the scouting reports say that he's not great in pass. So, like...
Oh, like covering guys.
No, I guess not pass.
Covering tight ends and backs and stuff. Got it. Not a good space linebacker. More of a...
Correct.
I got
Speaking of linebackers, Elliot, do we know N'Kobe's
likelihood to be healthy for September? I mean, are they entering this draft thinking they may need to get a starter from the draft or free agency? Or do they think N'Kobe's going to start at the start of the year?
I don't think N'Kobe will be ready to start week one, but I think he'll be ready a little sooner than people think. I mean, players do recover from you know, an ACL injury much quicker than they used to. You figured he tore it in, what, January?
It was a patella for him, not an ACL.
Much worse.
And that takes longer.
Yeah. I mean, I think he will probably be ready for week one. But the other thing to take into consideration, and I know that he has seen N'Kobe play, but Vic Fangio really, really values practice time. Like, that's part of the reason Sidney Brown didn't play much last year, is because Tristan McCollum was there in training camp and Sidney Brown was still recovering. So, now, again, obviously he's played N'Kobe, so there's a difference there. But if N'Kobe misses all of training camp, I do think his job could be won over by another linebacker, whether that be Jeremiah Trotter Jr., whether that be somebody they draft. Like, training camp, Vic Fangio has shown, really matters to him. And if N'Kobe misses that, that is a big deal.
Elliot, do people sort of speculate and tie Georgians into things more now that we've exhibited such a propensity for going and getting Georgia players? Like, is this something that, I don't know, we should just go look at Georgia's performance last year, areas of need, maybe that guy fits because he knows our guys already? How much do we weigh that? How interesting? I find this fascinating. I think there are seven Georgians as we stand right now, if we're including Azeez Ojulari. I've never heard of anything like this. But is this something that you would expect will continue? And are there other teams who are looking at that and saying, wait, that team won the Super Bowl. Maybe this is something we should think about.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a pretty unique situation because it does take time to accumulate. Like, if another team decided, you know, we're just going to draft all Alabama guys, you know, it takes 2-3 years to really get to the number the Eagles have. But I also think it's one of those things where if it's not broken, I'm going to mess that phrase up. If it's not broken, no need to fix it. Like, it is working for them. And to your point, they know each other. I think it makes them more comfortable when they come to the NFL that they know players that are there. And also, there is clearly a trust between the Georgia coaching staff and the Eagles. Like, they talk to those guys. They talk to them about the players. They've seen that those players come to the NFL, NFL ready. So, you know, it certainly is unique. I don't know how many times we'll experience something like this with the Eagles over the years. Like, I don't know if they'll just, you know, switch to another school in 3 years. But I do think, like, it has worked for them. And, you know, we talked about Malachi Starks. There's Tyron Ingram Dawkins, a super, super ultra-athletic defensive lineman that's more of a second or third-round pick. He's somebody that they have shown a lot of interest in. So, yeah, I mean, chances are by the time, you know, 2 weeks from now we're talking about recapping the draft, like, there will be another Georgia Bulldog here in Philadelphia.
Elliot with us right now, 9 days to the first round. Elliot, let's talk about the possibility of moving the first-round pick for a veteran player. So the Eagles don't do it much, but, you know, they did it about 15 years ago for Jason Peters. And he's going to make the Hall of Fame. They did it a couple years ago for A.J. Brown. They've won a Super Bowl, and A.J. Brown might make the Hall of Fame. Two different names that are of interest. One is T.J. Watt. The other, as Jason Lockenfour reported, is Trey Hendrickson, the outstanding pass rusher from the Bengals, and the possibility that he could get traded. Do you think Howie would be of the mindset to go all in with a Super Bowl-caliber roster already in place for a guy like Hendrickson or Watt and be willing to move the first rounder?
So I do think with Howie, it's probably smart to never rule out anything. Like, I think there's a shot that it could happen, but I think it's 1%. I really don't think they're going to make a big-time trade for an expensive player. That's just the sense I've gotten really all offseason, but especially coming back from the owners meeting, is they really view this as, like, they have their high paid players, and obviously AJ, Saquon, Jalen, Devontae, like, the list goes on. And then they have their guys coming up that they're going to pay. So I think the opportunity to grab a cost-controlled, ideally, like, special player at number 32 is too good to pass up to go and, let's be honest, like, somewhat overpay for TJ Watt or Trey Hendrickson. Like, they are great players, but you're giving up a premium asset to acquire that player. And then you're also paying top dollar to make that player happy. So I would be stunned if something like that happened.
Jalen Ramsey is available. Do we have need for an experienced cornerback to fill out our roster? Is that reasonable to expect?
So they definitely, I think, have questions at the second cornerback spot. Kelee Ringo is going to compete there. Obviously, they brought in Adoree Jackson. I think they view Adoree as that veteran guy that can push Kelee. And if Kelee doesn't win the job, then he's someone that has experience. Yeah. I don't think Jalen Ramsey really makes much sense at all for this team. He's super priced. He's getting up there. I'm not even sure he's the player he used to be. There was interest in Jalen Ramsey when he was initially traded from the Jaguars. But that was a long time ago. I mean, that was almost 7 years ago or something at this point. So I would be very surprised if they acquired Jalen Ramsey,
especially with his positive history with our defensive coordinator. It does feel like that might not be a mesh.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, and the money of it all too. Again, I really don't think they're going to acquire a high priced player. Like, it doesn't mean they won't trade for somebody. Like, there's the DeAndre Swift type of trade where you get him for a mid round pick, and he's a name we know and a good player. But
also a Georgian.
That's a good point. Also a Georgia Bulldog.
That's crazy.
But, but I do not think they will be acquiring somebody where they're handing out $25 million plus for that player.
Right.
Same. All right, Elliot. Final thing. Howie and Nick talked today. Obviously, you get a chance to be a part of that. What's the number one thing you want to ask Howie Roseman that you think he may actually sort of answer? Because he's going to play things close to the vest. But what do you think you can kind of unearth that is of interest today?
Yeah, I do think of all the times we get Howie and Nick, this one is maybe the most pointless because they're actively trying to deceive up there and trick other teams into, thinking they think one thing when they think another. But I am interested in hearing him maybe explain more his comments on the Todd McShay pod about certain qualities with players that take them off their board. I thought it was out of character for Howie to reveal something like that. I'd just be curious to hear him expound on that more. So that would be one, maybe if I can get that question in. But outside of that, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into what they say today because it is a week out from the draft and they're not going to give anything away.
Ellie, I'll give you $100. If you say to Howie during this press conference, the camera wants you to run the Eagles and the Sixers, are you capable of running both organizations? $100.
I do think that would be a popular question amongst the fans. The Sixers are not going great right now, but it might be more than $100.
I hear you, buddy. Elliot, stay well, man. We'll talk to you later this week. Obviously, getting closer to the draft. Thanks, pal.
Yep, talk to you.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from, of course, the Tasty Cake Studio. All right, so before we get back to the phones, I want to play some audio of Rob Thompson, a message that, Rob Thompson shared yesterday about his message to the players. They're obviously struggling dramatically right now. What Rob Thompson said yesterday, we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute.
It's grilling season. It's time to fire up those grills and enjoy some mouth-watering steaks, incredible burgers, and seasoned chicken from Wild Fork Foods. Whether you're tailgating, hosting a backyard bash, or just hungry for something real, Wild Fork has you covered. Stock up on the 2-pack of ribeye steaks, only $10.98 a pound, or chicken thighs, antibiotic-free, only $2.40 per pound, or treat yourself to affordable luxury with a white truffle veggie burger. This burger is incredible. Rich taste of white truffles with a mix of quality vegetables, creating a gourmet food experience that you can make right at home. 2 packs for only $6. If you haven't checked out Wild Fork Foods yet, what are you waiting for? It's a food experience that you and your family, your friends, you're going to be talking about well after the meal is done. Visit their Neshaminy location located right across the street from the mall or one of their other Greater Philadelphia locations or shop online for same-day delivery straight to your door. Visit wildforkfoods.com today.
You can react to everything, of course, with the draft. We were just talking about with Elliot and 9 days to go, how you size this thing up from an Eagles standpoint. But also the Phils, which has clearly been our main topic today for all the obvious reasons. They stunk again last night. They have played a lousy brand of baseball now for about a week. Disconcerting when you consider it looks very similar to when they were losing last year in the playoffs. And let's be real, the 4 months when they were an average team from June through September. I mean, just not hitting a ton and sometimes sloppy. And, of course, the baton gets passed last night from Marsh. Like, okay, let's give him a day or two or three, which I think is wise. But the baton gets passed to Rojas, which is squarely on Dave Dombrowski.
squarely. It's not a Rob Thompson thing. Like, all Rob Thompson can do is deal with the players that he's been given. And most of the players he's been given by Dombrowski are high-priced players with good proven track records, at times proven inconsistent, but at least above-average players. Rojas is not one of them. Rojas is a player who does not belong in Major League Baseball, yet for the third straight year, the Phillies are shoving him down all of our throats. And I don't know if the idea is all the way to the summer, till Crawford comes up. I mean, there's people talking yesterday, John, about let's get rid of Marsh. So let's get rid of Marsh and keep Rojas? It's not a good situation.
Shouldn't have gone into the season with either of them as your main.
Marsh was an option as a fourth outfielder, not as a third.
Correct.
Rojas is not a Major League Baseball player. Period. Now, I got a buddy that just texted me about a half an hour ago. He thinks I'm being too soft and easy on Trey and Bryce. Look, I think Bryce is outstanding going through a little thing. I think Trey is far from outstanding. So let me just put that out there. But I know there's a lot of people mad about
that. He also, I've heard people complain about doing the gender reveal thing.
I've heard that too.
The Harper with the blue bat, yep. And it's like focusing on baseball and all that type of stuff. I've heard that.
You think it was bad timing?
Yes.
Yeah, it was bad
timing. Because it's been a bad week, so don't mess around with
that. So that doesn't bother. I don't care about
it. I don't care about that either.
Like zero. But like 0%.
I knew it was
play
not
better.
Gonna, yeah.
I care about. I don't, like, yeah. You're not going to not hit because you're using a blue bat because you're found out.
I agree.
Like,
I knew
silly.
It wasn't going to go over well. Well, there's as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, there's some people that say it's the wrong time. Yeah. They've been losing for a week. Obviously, they lost last night, and they don't want it. And listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It doesn't bother me. I know it bothers some. What bothers me is that Rojas is on the team. What bothers me is that Taiwan pitched bad last night. What bothers me is that Trey Turner's not as good as he should be. I mean, that's ridiculous. With all that said, a lot's going wrong. Rob Thompson talked before the game yesterday about the messaging he's been giving to the players.
You know, these guys got to remember, we're 15 games in here. You know, there's 70 guys hitting under 200 in Major League Baseball right now. So they just need to relax. It's going to happen. We got a long way to go.
You know, John, one of the things we talked about with Dave Dombrowski down in Clearwater, the interview we had with him on the show, was that there were a lot of fans that want a more Dallas Green style manager, to use another sport analogy, a Bill Parcells style coach. Rob Thompson is not that. And there's a lot of people, and listen, I've been more in Rob Thompson's corner than most, but I was last night when that JT call happened, he's got to come out of the dugout, even if it means he gets ejected.
I was blown away.
You know, you gotta.
He should want to get ejected.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I thought the next half inning when he came out, I guess it was the top of the eighth when he was out there talking to the ump and everyone else. I thought that was like, finally, it simmered and it boiled over, and he's going to get after him now, because he didn't in the here and now with JT.
Right.
But he was talking to him about the freaking light.
It was ridiculous.
It wasn't, hey, I'm going to go defend my guy, finally, because maybe something else, maybe there was something situational, he was distracted, there was something going on. I can't even imagine what could have been more important than your guy being struck out on the fifth ball of the at-bat. I would have been up there. I would have hoped any manager of this team would have been up there in the face of the ump and getting ejected immediately, just to show his team how much it matters. Because, by the way, the bottom of the seventh, Bryce singled. Schwarber popped out, just missed. And he's just missing. He's close right now. Casty walks. You got two outs, two runners. Yeah. This contributed to the fact that, hey, with the runners in scoring position, we've been struggling. The official, the ump helped remove our opportunity to win.
Look, the umpire was a disaster. But Rojas was more of a disaster.
Right now, we're playing some of our worst baseball.
I mean, Rojas, he stinks. The guy is not a Major League Baseball player. He is horrendous.
He's fast, and that's
doesn't do me
what
any good if you don't get
him.
On base. Doesn't do me any good.
That's
by the way,
the
he's not as good a center fielder as he was supposed to be. With that said, let's listen to the moment. Now, we're going to give radio version first, then TV version, then right back to the phones, because both booths, the radio with Fransky in L.A., and then the TV with T-Mac and Ruben, were out of their minds, rightfully so, when the bad call was made by the umpire to end the JT at bat and end the inning with guys on base. Let's listen to the radio version.
Three balls, two strikes, two outs. The runners go, the pitch, and that's outside. Ball. Oh, no, Tony Randazzo
that's
just ran
terrible.
Him up. And JT Realmuto cannot believe it.
That's a joke. That's not even close.
Wow.
He's not wrong. I'll tell you that. Let's listen to the TV version. T-Mac and Ruben.
Runners go. And a strike.
Oh, my goodness.
Call.
That's
that is way off the plate.
That is not a good call.
JT does not react like that.
Nope.
And Tony Randazzo, he's missed a couple tonight, but that was as egregious a miss as you will see from a home plate umpire.
Wow.
Look, you want fire, I do, from Rob Thompson in a moment like that, out of the dugout. Even if you get ejected, out of the dugout.
Yes.
You know, then, now I'll say Rob Thompson is doing a better job this year of pushing pedal to the metal, changing the lineup. He's doing all sorts of stuff there. So I applaud him for, I don't think he's just sitting back the way he has in some past years.
He's been more experimental.
He has been.
And that's outside his comfort zone.
But he
clearly
may need to ratchet up the anger. I don't know what the word is. The prodding, the pushing, the scolding. You know, I mean,
the old school. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. By the way, reminder, Brandon Graham, 9 o'clock today. BG, 9 o'clock. First time on the show since he retired. We look forward to talking to Brandon coming up in an hour. Be tuned for that. Let's go to Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, morning show. Sorry about my operator error earlier this morning.
No worries.
I got to say on the Phillies, first, real quick on umpiring, I think we're beyond human error at this point. The technology exists. It's very easy. You can put something in the umpire's ear that calls balls and strikes for him. It's that simple. Just like tennis, there's a little beep. If it's a friggin' strike, the umpire hears a beep, he calls a strike. If he doesn't hear anything or you give him a different noise, it's a ball. I am tired of human error affecting games to such a degree when it's completely unnecessary. These guys work too hard at their craft, pitchers and batters both.
Precisely.
He's screwed up by some guy that can't see. He's got four fingers in front of his. That ball was 8 feet outside. I don't know how in the world you call it a strike. It would have hit a left-handed batter. It would have hit somebody in the left-handed, you know, batter's box.
And the first pitch of the at-bat was a foot inside.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there's no
call the strike
for this.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Let's get it right. Enough said. But, you know, onto the Phillies, I really have to lay it on Dombrowski, and I understand the guys aren't performing. I think the numbers, you know, baseball, we've all seen it. Baseball is a long season. The Phillies aren't going to go 1-for-8, you know, with runners in scoring position all season long. The numbers will even out to some degree. But Dombrowski has been a huge failure, and he hasn't recognized it. The Trey Turner signing was supposed to be the Saquon Barkley. It was supposed to be the guy that put us over the top. Clearly, that was a mistake. And hey, okay. But not readdressing it, not, you know, leaving that hole in center field coming into this season, leaving question marks in the bullpen, that is 100% on him. And there were things that, you know, players that were available, deals that could have been made. You know, I don't want to talk about, you know, some of the bad questionable contracts too much. The Nola contract, we could have had Chris Sale for 2 years and Nola for 7. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then, you know, to give Trey a bajillion dollars and then not do anything about it, as he just
you know what, Paul, you know what, you know what, you,
out,
let me tell you,
let
me tell you something that frustrates me with Dombrowski, the lack of quality, what I'll call creative traits. So, you know, the bottom line is he inherited, believe it or not, some really good players that came from the prior regime with that. What was that guy's name?
Matt Klentak.
Klentak. Huh. So that would be Wheeler. That would be Bryce Harper. I mean, it was initially Rhys Hoskins, initially Real Muto. So, like, a lot of those players. Okay. And then the other thing was, okay, let's spend Aaron Nola, by the way, is part of that. And then the other was like
Sanchez was traded.
Yeah. And then, like, let's spend the owner's money, which, let's be real, you and I could spend the owner's money.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I've always been struck by there are times when a program gets elevated by the creative trade. It, you know, 30 years ago, the Flyers trade Mark Recchi for John LeClair and Eric Desjardins. You know, I remember when the Phillies made a series of trades in the late 80s, early 90s that brought in Kroc or brought in Lenny. You know, like those, you know, I remember when Larry Brown traded, Jerry Stackhouse for Aaron McKee and Theo Ratliff. Like this team needed some reconfiguration, and I know it wasn't easy because obviously Castellanos and Schwarber and a bunch of these guys make big money and are older. I'm not saying it's easy, but like if Dombrowski is going to be on the steps of Cooperstown someday giving a speech, and he probably will, I'd like greater creativity to get the job done. Frankly,
absolutely, absolutely. His track record, you know, in other places. was a guy that, you know, could spend the owner's money and could do it wisely. And he really hasn't done that here. I'm looking for him to get back on track. And if he's not going to do it, like if there's, you know, something to touch, you know, or something that some kind of skill set for a GM that just, you know, fades away, then we have to look at that because, you know, in my estimation, this guy is doing a worse job than Topper. You know, I'm really upset, you know, looking at what we should have had. I mean, can you imagine if we signed Chris Sale last year and we rolled out him and Wheeler? I mean, and to me, that was a no-brainer. Like, that was the obvious thing. Let Nova go. Let the Braves take him. Let the Braves sign him for 7 years. Chris Sale was as obvious, you know, as the day is long. I mean, I couldn't believe he didn't act on that. And then he, like, doubled down on, you know, signing a guy who's only been okay and hasn't proven himself to huge money for 7 years. I mean, to me, that's Aaron Nola's contract and Trey's are two of the worst contracts maybe in baseball, but they're certainly terrible.
Well, I'm not ready to go there on Nola, but it's trending down. I'm not ready to go as far as you did because the Trey one to me looks currently a lot worse. Paul, give me a big answer. A famous quote.
I love this one. It's just kind of silly. But Mark Twain, talking about smoking, said, quitting smoking is easy. I've done it hundreds of times.
That's good, man. All right, 215-592-9494. More reaction to the game last night, the Phil's recent slide. More of what Baldy said about the draft and the Eagles' defense. All that up ahead on 94 WIP.
During the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all new customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. From three-pointers to steals to assists, FanDuel has so many ways to bet your favorite player props. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. Just visit FanDuel.com/JohnR to get in on all the NBA play-in tournament action. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP as well. That's FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, for your chance to turn a $5 bet into $250 in bonus bets.